Now TV hotline. How can we help?
I've got the best spot on the sofa and a big mug of tea, but I need some great TV. What have you got?
How about over 300 box sets for you to curl up with, like Game of Thrones?
Amazing!
And we've brought must-see movies so you can put your feet up, with over 1,000 like Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Great! Sorted!
Relax with over 1,000 movies and 300 box sets streaming on Now TV. 18 plus, month passes auto, renew terms apply.
This is Acast Recommends. Every week we pick one of our favourite shows, and this is one we think you're going to love.
My name is David Runciman, and we are Talking Politics. As the noise around politics gets louder, this is the podcast that cuts through. We try to make sense of what's really going on. Join the conversation on Acast or via Apple Podcasts by searching for Talking Politics.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from the UK and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. The Bay Area Betches.
Betches!
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hot dang! It's Jessica Dang.
Lisa Wallant. Now that's what I call Wallentainment.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Sarah Greenwood. She only uses her power for good.
Ashley Schiavone. She don't take no baloney.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Hannah. God, I love that banana. Anderson.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
We love you guys. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Ye Old Bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam. I'm also on the Rose Pricks podcast, but that's over now, so screw that. I can stop saying that for a while. And here I am with the gorgeous Ben Mandelker of the Real Housewares of Kitchen Island. Hello, Ben.
Hi, how's it going, everyone? It feels so good to be back here in Los Angeles. Ronnie and I were just all around last week. I mean, we're in D.C., then South by Southwest, then Cincinnati. Thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. I would say from our heart. Can I speak for your heart too, Ronnie?
Sure, why not? My heart has no bottom.
Okay. No, thank you guys for everyone who showed up. It was so awesome. That was our most rigorous span of traveling, and it was really intense, and the people really showed up. Even Jack showed up. it was so fun. So thank you guys so much for coming to our shows. And if you thought that meant we're going to stop trying to push shows on you, you are sorely mistaken. I'm sorely mistaken. First and foremost, tomorrow morning we have a new show that we are announcing in a city we've never been to. So keep an eye on our social media for that, because there'll be a Patreon pre-sale that's going to go on from Tuesday through Thursday, and that's going to be public on sale on Friday. So be ready, people. But that'll be tomorrow. In the meantime, our next shows are in Portland and in Phoenix. We're going back to Phoenix. So that's like coming up around the corner, people. That's coming up. So I forget the specific dates. It's like the 5th and 6th or the 4th and the 5th, whatever it is. Go to watchacrappens.com and come by our show. It'll be super, super, super fun. Just listen to our shows from this last week and you will
see.
You'll see. Also, Ronnie, this is very nerve-wracking because I'm on jury duty this week. And
well, you better get that shit together.
The way it works here in Los Angeles, I don't know if it's a California thing or not, it's like you're sort of like on call. And at night you have to call and be like, do I have to come down to the courthouse? So, so far, so good. So I'm just asking for everyone's hopes and prayers that I can make it through the week without jury duty. But if I do get called in for jury duty, you know what I love about Crappens is that we have fans everywhere. And one of our listeners, Rebecca, works down at the courthouse. So I'm excited about that.
Well, then tell her to get you off. Okay, here's how you get off jury duty. Here's how I got off the last time. They said if somebody is like an ounce over the limit for like drug dealer or whatever for cocaine, like if somebody's selling cocaine and they were selling like just a tiny bit over the amount, would you, you know, still arrest them? And I was like, no, I wouldn't. The cops aren't here to be mean to us. The cops are here to help us, you know? And they were like, bye.
Yeah, I did that once.
We one should time be there allowed was... to murder people. I mean, come on. You only live I once, was... guys.
I was in the, yeah, I had like, they were like questioning me and they asked the entire like pool of potential jurors. They're like, now people, we all agree, right? Innocent until proven guilty. You saw this man walk in and did you immediately think he was guilty? You weren't closed-minded, were you? And everyone's like, no, no, no. And I was like, honestly, when I saw him, I thought maybe he did it. And they're like, goodbye.
Yeah. Well, people are so dumb. Like, they're trying to get on jury duty. You know what I mean? It's like The Bachelor. Like, what do you win? You know? Yeah. But today, we're not talking about that. We're talking about The Real Housewives of Atlanta and Top Chef, okay? We're just going to talk about Atlanta a little bit, so we'll save that to the end. But for right now, we are on TV Party streaming this, as we are every Monday. So hi, TV Party. And if you missed this on TV Party, you can find it on Crappens On Demand, where we have all of our video recaps up. You can watch them on your smart TV, your smartphone, anything that's smart. Do you have a smart child? Watch it on your smart child.
Smart child. I don't think such a thing exists.
You have a smart
just
refrigerator?
Kidding.
You can watch it in that. But today, we're on TV Party. So here we are. Tonight
here we
is
are.
The finale of Top Chef.
Top Chef, did you mean to end the season, Gail? Yes, that's it. We're at the end of Top Chef, so we're going to send it out properly. So, you know, we're still in Macau, and we're down to three chefs. It's Sarah, Kelsey, and Eric. And to celebrate their making it to the end-ish, they, like, show up in this auditorium where there's just these, like, giant Gail-sized screens that are like, we're going to do a multimedia presentation. So
the Galatrons.
The Galatron. Oh, look, you're on the Galatron. Uh-oh, it's trying to eat you. So
one is bringing West African food to America, and the other two are some hit girls with stringy hair that no one really understands.
Yeah. You know what I didn't like? So there was like a little video package for each person. And so we have Tom talking about Kelsey first. And he's like, yeah, well, you know, Kelsey, she's the first chef that's a caterer that's really come this far. I was like, are we just going to forget about, I believe his name was Dave from season one, who famously said, you're a bitch, bitch, right?
No, he said, I'm not your bitch, bitch.
I'm not your bitch, bitch. Yeah, he was a caterer. Can we not discount him? He was a season one, okay?
Yeah, Tom. Be nice to caterers, Tom, jerk.
Tom, yeah. So then there was the Eric video where Padma was the one talking, and she's like, I love listening to Eric talk about food. He's a born teacher, and you can tell he has a great passion about his heritage, and it comes through not only in the food he makes, it's how he talks about it. You know, he talks about the way Gail talks about Charleston shoes. Am I right, everyone? Never shuts up. Never.
Charleston shoes. Yeah, Padma, I watched Padma's Instagram this week. I tried to make a video of it, but I'm really inept at stuff like that. Padma's on Instagram eating a fucking taco, okay? I've never seen somebody blow a taco like this. She was like, like, I get your sexual food thing, and I get that that's part of what you do, but please stop, okay?
Yeah.
I really wanted to eat a taco that day, and I couldn't even eat it.
Yeah, well, she used to have that Carl's Jr. commercial where she ate that burger and, like, dripped it all over her knees. And it was like, oh, okay. I don't know. I'm here for it.
I'm not. Stop it. You know, I'm trying to eat my tacos, lady.
I'm gay, but I'm all here for Padma's sexuality.
It's not Padma's sexuality. It's that she's, like, raping a taco. Like, when did that taco ever consent? It didn't, okay? It didn't consent. And especially on camera. On camera.
You know what? If I were a taco, I would be so honored to have Padma be the one who
blew you,
killed me,
who swallowed me. You whole for sexual.
I mean, don't
gratification
you want Padma
on
you
Instagram
instead of, like, I don't know, like
Graham
from last season?
I would rather Graham. Padma eat me than Graham, but Graham just eats like regular sexy people eat, like you eat, you know, you don't blow your food. It's disgusting.
I think I feel like Graham eats like a cartoon, you know, where he like opens his mouth really big, Little Caesar style, and it's like, It's like one bite and it just goes in.
That's how I eat.
Pizza, pizza. Bum, bum, bum,
bum. No, I want to be eaten by Padma. This sounds like really disturbing. So, yeah, so Padma's like, yeah, Eric, I could listen to him talk and talk, except about curry. Asshole.
Eric will not be winning today because he had the nerve to argue with me publicly twice. Eric about really fucked curry. Himself. That's all I could think. I was like, Eric would have won this show, but he really fucked with Padma. And Padma never forgets, okay? She's like a real housewife. You're not going to fuck with Padma and then just win. Okay.
Never, never. So then it's time to talk about Sarah, and Grant is like, Sarah's a unique blend of talent and country. And you could just see Padma clamoring in. Did you say country or did you say awful? I heard awful.
You hear like ding 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 ding. I'm like, God, poor Sarah, you know. She's like, they're like, we respect where you come from. And then they're like, bang bang ding 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 ding
ding ding ding ding. Look how cute that yokel is.
They're like, look at her drinking a beer by poking a hole in it. Isn't that crazy? Look at her doing farts with her armpits. Okay.
So then they like blow all this.
Like, whoa, Appalachian food. No one wants to eat that. But Sarah's made it palatable somehow. Just by putting mustard on it. You can make poop on the sidewalk taste good. Congrats, Sarah.
Like, congrats.
I wouldn't want Graham doing my thing. Like, he's still too new. Okay.
Yeah. You know, Graham has not really had a breakout personality, I feel like, after all these years. He's been around for a little while, actually. But like, he's just sort of like that guy who's like not Emeril or not Eric Repair or not.
How dare you?
RIP, he has Anthony Bourdain.
He has white out colored glasses. That is his personality. Right. What's the point of paying for glasses? Right.
I'm so sorry. I forgot.
Thank you.
Okay. So,
now what?
Now what? Okay, so the judges come out. There's like all this smoke on the stage, and the judges come out, and it's like it's so over the top, you know? And, you know, Pam is like, what was it like to watch yourself on the screen? Was it devastating? I'm used to it. I'm Padma.
She's like, one of you will walk away with the grand prize of $125,000, otherwise known as 1 week of Salman Rushdie alimony payments. Take it away, lawyers.
Am I right, Gail? You just ask Gail for just to verify that.
Yeah, am I right, Gail?
Busy eating fish sticks. So Tom's like, my advice is, you know, just keep doing what got you here and don't forget that. Thanks, Tom. Thanks for that really insightful advice.
Well, it was advice that Sarah didn't take, unfortunately.
Nope. I was like, what are you doing, Sarah?
Yeah, you know that it's like shallow. It sounds like shallow Tom advice, but you better listen to it, okay?
Yeah.
Okay?
He's like, it's the most basic advice, and yet no one listens to me. Every single final, someone says, I'm going to try something new. I'm going to sous vide this steak. Still mad at that situation with Carla. So
today's challenge is not to fuck up a curry, Eric.
Today's challenge is not to fuck up one of the most basic food dishes that is made by almost every culture, Eric.
So their challenge, they have to use sous chefs, of course, because it's the finale. So they pick knives to pick sous.
And by the way, this gives Tom an opportunity for Tom to say what I've discovered, I think, is his favorite line on Top Chef. Before we get started, maybe a little help? A little help? He loves doing that. I think maybe it's time for a little help.
Little help from your friends.
That. Like, he's like, it's like his favorite joke of all time.
So Kelsey takes Brandon. She gets to go first. So she picks Chocolate Factory guy, the phantasmagoric, Chocolate Factory guy, who still looks like, I'm thinking real hard right now.
He's like, Xanthan gum, anyone? Xanthan gum?
He's never going to live Xanthan gum down, you know?
No, he won't.
And then Eric takes Justin. Sarah takes, she's like, I'm going to keep the happiness train alive with Eddie. It's like, the happiness train alive with Eddie?
What?
He looks like he's about to poop. Tears. Like, he's going to poop out poop made of tears. Okay, that's how not happy he is.
No, she's smart. She's choosing Eddie because she knows that Eddie will, like, quote unquote, accidentally sabotage the other two teams and be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to.
Eddie's stealing all their budgets to spend at the store.
Exactly. So then Kelsey also chooses Nini, who is my personal favorite. And then Eric also chooses Michelle, because Michelle's just so pumped to be there right now.
I'm a badass warrior. Wow.
Yeah, I'm just like here to fight
Piper Eric.
I'm just here to fight.
You bring my passion for food.
Bring me my passion for fashion. To the finals.
And then Sarah also chooses David. Wait, who is? Oh, David, the Portuguese guy. Okay, so that's the one. And then when they choose everyone, Padma turns to the ones who aren't chosen. And she goes, I want to thank the rest of you for not being good enough to be picked. Bye, losers.
Not so bad being eighth best, is it, losers?
Next time, cook better. I mean, it's called Top Chef, not Top Dumbass.
So you'll have 3 hours to cook your four-course meal, but 2 hours into prep, you'll serve to Tom and Nilu, and 5 minutes before that, we're going to prank call Gail and ask her if the refrigerator's running.
We're going to tell Gail there's been a Freon emergency and everything has to be taken out of the fridge. You only have room to save one item. Oh, the look on her face will be hilarious.
I mean, who keeps Snickers bars in their freezer, right, guys?
She keeps both the ice cream Snickers and the regular ones. Who does that? Bless her heart.
So the least successful will be eliminated on the spot. By the way, I'm using a yellow light today in my house, and look what it's doing to my teeth. I have wooden teeth today.
I never would have noticed.
Well,
honestly.
There, now you're not going to see anything else but my yellow wooden teeth. Thanks a lot,
yellow
light.
Did you mean to wear yellow wooden dentures, Ronnie? Rondell Washington?
So Kelsey's like, that's like a nothing to good. And Padma's like, we're super excited to see what you cook. It's like, really? Could you put some love into that sentence, Padma, please? Padma, yeah. I'm turning into Tom. I call her Padma, and I'm sticking to it. You can't brainwash me, Tom Colicchio.
Yeah. So Kelsey's menu is going to be Summers of the South, and she's going to do a buttermilk something or another. And then Eric is going to do he's going to do like a jerk spice tartare, and it's going to be like his food's going to be the story of the transatlantic slave trade.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah, I'm like, I actually think it's a super cool idea. I just think it's funny that like his version is like Kelsey's is like, the South. And his is like, I remember the slave trade. You know?
Yeah, sounds delicious. Also, Kelsey is, when she's talking about her, she's like, I want it to be shocking and beautiful. It's like, you're going to make grits. Like, I know you're going to make grits. So, like, who are we kidding here, okay?
This could be shocking and beautiful. I'm making buttermilk. I'm going to pour buttermilk in a bowl.
Buttermilk over cornbread, okay? People are going to fall over dead.
Although, honestly, I'm not mad at it. And I just looked in my fridge today for the first time since we've been gone, and I realized that there's a whole thing of buttermilk in there. So, who knows?
Maybe I'll have a summer in the South.
That's going to be shocking.
Well, we were in Kentucky, Ronnie, by the way. I feel like we didn't really appreciate enough that we were in Brittany's homeland just yesterday.
It doesn't count unless you have a Hooters waitress who fucks up your order 20 times, okay? That's the way to do Kentucky if you're going for a Brittany trip.
By the way, speaking of culinary traditions, our Uber driver told us that we missed out on not getting this one dish. I forget what it was called, like gratins or something like that. And he's like, we're like, what is that? He's like, oh, it's a Cincinnati tradition. It's pig parts and oats.
Gail's autobiography. Am I right, Gail? Yeah, that guy pitches as well as Eric. Pig parts and oats. Like, does not sound good.
Yeah.
So then, let's see. Sarah's like, I want everything to have a little Asian and Portuguese too, but with some Southern charm. I've never done half the stuff I'm going to do today, but that's what Top Chef is, right? It's just what it is. Like, how is that what Top Chef is? Tom just said, keep doing cauliflower grits, okay?
Yeah. He literally just said it. Literally.
Yeah.
So now they all are going to go shopping. And by the way, Sarah's big gamble is that she's not going to do dessert. So anyway, they're all shopping. And there's like this small drama that like, Sarah needs green peanuts. And then guess what? She finds them. I don't know why I made her sound like that. She doesn't sound like that at all. But that was like what I was feeling on the inside. Like my inner
peanuts.
Lady.
Peanuts! She needs her green peanuts! Someone get her my green Brittany. Peanuts!
Yeah, my inner Brittany was going mad. But guess what? She found them, of course. It was like a fake drama. So then after the shopping, it's like nighttime. Did you have anything to say about the shopping? I just had that they went shopping. I mean, like, there wasn't, for me, I didn't think there was anything.
No.
No. Okay, so now it's nighttime.
I just liked when they said, that'll be 4,000 Macanese patacas. So that was funny. I just like when Southern people say anything. I'm from the South, so I just
we
think
just
it's
like
funny
doing accents.
When people are like, "Macacus, what?"
So now it's nighttime. So now Kelsey, Eric, and Sarah are like walking around getting food and stuff. And the only thing that I thought was notable was that they went and they got like chicken cookies, which I'm really intrigued by what that is. Two concepts I don't often put together. Is it just the shape of chicken or is it made of chicken?
I think it's made of chicken because they were shapes of circles. Which really is going to confuse everybody.
Isn't that the shape of chickens though? Circles?
Guys. So this is the first time we hear Sarah's story, which, you know, and I've said this every episode, I think, this season, but I know that you guys are instructed to give really meaningful stories for your dishes, but don't waste my time with your bullshit stories, okay? This is Sarah's. She's like, I'm making boiled peanuts and some shrimp prawns, which, first of all, boring, okay, thanks. But she's like, this dish reminds me of family trips. We get boiled peanuts, and then we do a shrimp boil because my dad would drive us all over. And I was like, that's your story? Please don't say, I literally wrote down, do not say this 20 times in the episode. And she does. She's like, yeah, my dad would drive us around, we'd get some shrimp boils and some peanuts. I was like, your dad sucks, okay? No, your dad doesn't suck. That's mean to say. That's too far.
She had a childhood that was very transportation focused, okay?
Yeah, I like it being driven all around. And whenever I get into Uber, I'm like, wow, I feel like it's in my childhood. Where are the peanuts? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, my childhood story would be like, we were on our way to McDonald's and my mom would take a fly swatter out of the glove compartment and try and beat us from the front seat. So we ate McDonald's. It's like I just eat McDonald's every day and like come in with like a fly swatter print on my face. Totally winning Top Chef.
So now it's the morning and they have to make their first dish of their four-course meal. They have to preview it for the judges and whoever's is the worst gets kicked off. And so Sarah's like, you know, she's like, I have one course to prove I belong in the finale. And guess what? I feel damn fucking good about it. I love her, like, unbridled confidence over everything, you know?
She's got, like, shrug confidence. She's like, I'm going to win this one. That's for sure. I can do shrug. It.
Shrug. Okay. Shrug. Every time I shrug, an angel gets its wings. You know what I'm saying? And the angels are in the shape of peanuts.
And Kelsey's like, you know what we say in Alabama? Beat everyone. I'm like, I think everyone says that. But thanks.
Yeah, everyone's like, thanks, Kelsey. Yeah. So now they're starting to cook. And Michelle is working with Eric and she's on lotus chip duty. And she's like,
well, lotus chips are, really they're small and some of them are burning and some of them are not. Like, I'm anticipating problems. Yeah, but if there is a problem, I'll just tell my grandma and she'll have someone gut the judges.
Yeah, because he wants them cut really thick to hold whatever is going on top of them. But first of all, there's giant holes in lotus chips. that's not going to work. And second, if you use them too thick and you fry them, they turn black by the time they're cooked all the way on the inside. And she tries to tell, but no one listens to Michelle. Can't imagine why.
I don't think that's going to work.
Yeah. She's like, I thought I was speaking up. So then Padma walks in. She's like, chefs, you have 1 hour left. Make it count. Unlike really anything Gail's ever done on this show. Am I right, everyone? Am I right? Am I right?
So Nini's like, Nini tastes the biscuit batch. And she's like, oh, God, this tastes like baking powder, you know. So they have to make another one. And she's like, I just don't want to fuck up. So then Eddie's tasting the XO sauce. And she's like, it's going to need some spice. And you have to be sweet. You're going to have to go back and get another spoonful. Just figure it out, Eddie. God, this sounds fun.
He's like, oh. And then meanwhile, so Eric is working on his jerk tartare and Justin keeps on being like, add more. And I was like, this makes me nervous. Like, why are you listening to Justin so much? He got voted out. Like, follow your instinct.
Also, he's doing a beef tartare with pre-made jerk sauce from the store. Like, this is Top Chef, okay? He got jerk paste from the store and he's just kind of adding to that. And I was like, why isn't Justin giving him shit? Because even in the store, did you catch it when they were shopping in the store? Justin's like, look, waffle mix.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why is this okay for you to use tubes of jerk seasoning?
Yeah.
Bullshit.
You know what? You're right. Bullshit. You know what? Justice was served.
And also, so beef tartare for Top Chef. No.
Yeah. So the judges arrive at their table, and Padma's like, well, this is the biggest decision we've had to make so far. And honestly, I vote yes. Let's donate Gail to the zoo.
Kelsey's like, if I go home now, I'll be pissed off. Which I thought was funny. So guess what Sarah does? She's like, all right, everybody. Hi, I'm serving chili prawns with boiled peanuts because my dad took us on a trip in a car one time. We had some boiled peanuts and some chili prawns. They were like, what a great, they're like, great story, Sarah.
The story of her being driven around.
And then Kelsey had to give her story too. And she tell, you know, they make them tell it 20 times, so it's not really fair to make fun of them, but who cares? This isn't a fair show, okay, suckers? But Kelsey's just like, I'm doing cornbread, and then you pour buttermilk on top of it, and it was just like Grandma's house, because every time you go to Grandma's house, she'd have some cornbread and put it in a cup, and then you pour some milk over it, just like at Grandma's house. It's like, okay.
Yeah, and she's like, okay, what you have to do is you take the cornbread and you break it up into the buttermilk, and Padma's like this? I'm not sure. I'm not a caveman.
She was. She's like, how do I crumble a cornbread?
I'm used to eating things with a fork and knife, you know, like a civilized human being. But thanks for this, a piece of bread over milk. Thanks, Kelsey.
I thought she was going to be dead after this. Like cornbread poured, I mean, buttermilk poured over cornbread. No, honey, I can't.
Is this how you'll be? Are these the sort of manners you'll be raising your child with?
My aspiration is Grandma's house at 4 o'clock. Her personality is trying to be like the equivalent of a stitched home sweet home pillow, you know, or like a rocking chair outside the Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
So then Padma's like, oh, you have boiled peanuts too. Did Sarah's father also take you around in a car for boiled peanuts and shrimp bloody blahs?
You must feel so unoriginal right now. Does that hurt, Sarah?
Does that hurt, Kelsey? Done again. Wow.
Wow, buttermilk over old ideas. Love it.
Retread soup. Delicious, Kelsey.
Wow, I love it when people just throw crap in a bowl over Sarah's ideas.
And then Caribbean jerk tartar. My story is the transatlantic slave trade. And it's like meaningful, you know, because it's meaningful. And so Tom's like, did you mean to marinate this beef like this? He's like, great story. Great story about the transatlantic slave trade. How long did you marinate this beef?
It's interesting using a jerk sauce, or as I like to call it, unappreciative sun sauce. Yeah.
So Eric's like, just 10 minutes. And Padma's like, but those finger limes are so nice.
That's a proper use of fingers. With limes, not with buttermilk, Kelsey.
So Nilo's like, guys, you can see the nerves. You can see the nerves, guys. I was like, who gave Nilo like some Adderall? Like, calm down over there, Nilo.
Padma just looks... Yeah, you can see the nerves. And Padma goes, of course, you idiot. It's the finals, noob. Bless her heart.
So we get to judging, and Padma's like, Eric, I'm impressed. His food has been so interesting. Nilu, here's your opportunity to say foo-foo again. She's like, nope.
I'm not going
to
do it.
I don't need to say it.
Padma's like, I love the buttermilk soup, which is funny because I hate Kelsey.
Thankfully, this tastes nothing like Kelsey's terrible personality.
I thought for a moment I just have to mail this off to Gail, let her drink it all. But guess what? I liked it. Sorry, Gail. All for me this time.
So Tom's like, great tartare, but, you know, too many ingredients. What are you going to do? And Graham's like, yeah, and it was well done, but well done burnt. So I don't know what that means, but there you go. And then let's see here. And Nilu is like, I guess I really liked Sarah's as well, because everyone liked it. She's like, but the texture of the peanuts was a little bit too grainy. And everyone just looked at Nilu like, shut up, Nilu. Like, do we have to have a
minimum grainy, Nilu. Tom, when do we get rid of fake Gail? Like, we just throw her into the ocean. Hey, Nilu, there's dumplings over in the Pacific. Here, let me show you. Push.
So, Padma's like, I loved... Oh, you already said this. Sorry. Yeah. She goes, I loved the buttermilk soup. It was a sense memory I didn't have, but I could taste it in her dish. Like, Padma's scanning everybody's dish in her robot mouth.
And you know what I sensed? I sensed a spoiled little brat that grew up to be a bitch. I hate that girl.
This tastes like do your roots.
This tastes like congratulations, you poured buttermilk in a bowl.
So judging.
Well, I like Nidlu. By the way, Nidlu was like, honestly, it just tasted like buttermilk.
Yeah, it tasted like buttermilk. And you know what? I listen to Nidlu as much as we make fun of her. I listen to Nidlu. Who the fuck pours buttermilk? I'm not going to get over this, okay?
I'm not going to get mad at it because I actually believe it's probably delicious. Like, why? Like, who am I to turn my nose about buttermilk and cornbread?
Of Top Chef. It is the finale. It is the final meal, and you're pouring buttermilk over biscuits. Count with this. And I hate that they just dumb it all down because it's Southern cooking. Like, we're so shocked that, you know, Southern people, they eat things. It's like, yeah.
I thought just pig parts and oats. So
it's not fucking buttermilk and biscuits, okay? There, said it.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
I wonder if it hurts them to shed their skins, she said. She didn't feel afraid standing in the darkness, even with the smell of death in the air. The Snakes, from Sunday Times bestselling novelist Sadie Jones, is the all-consuming story of a family whose worst sins come back to bite them. Described by The Guardian as suspenseful, beautifully written. A thrilling good read, says Elizabeth Day. The Snakes holds the reader in its tense grip from start to unforgettable finish. The Snakes by Sadie Jones is out now.
This is Acast Recommends. Every week we pick one of our favourite shows, and this is one we think you're going to love.
My name is David Runciman, and we are Talking Politics. As the noise around politics gets louder, this is the podcast that cuts through. We try to make sense of what's really going on. Join the conversation on Acast or via Apple Podcasts by searching for Talking Politics.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from the UK and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
So now Padma finally gets her revenge. It's time to eliminate someone. And she's... Padma cracks me up. She's like, Eric, hand clasp on the heart. Please pack your knives and go. Oh, it was a treat to meet you and learn how to make a curry incorrectly.
Yeah. She's like, please, Eric, pack your knives and go. And please, curry. I mean, hurry. Sorry. Just got away from me there, Eric.
And Nilu's like, congratulations, ladies. One of you is going to be the next Top Chef. And you just see Padma staring at her like, who let the waitress speak? Why is she speaking?
I'm sorry, are you looking for a mop?
That's my line.
So Tom's like, well, you know, both of you keep talking about Southern food, but the food you cook goes way beyond Southern food. I mean, it is just crazy, so far beyond. I mean, you made grits, which is Southern, you know, Southern, pretty standard. Biscuits, a lot of biscuits, so... Yep. You know what? Just turn the smoke machine back on and let's just call it a day. How about that? I'm out of things to say. It's a finale. See you later.
I'm just going to go Venmo my son his monthly rent because he can't afford it. Because he's a mixologist. He chose to be a mixologist.
Roll Tide, go Big Blue, and listen to your dad. Okay? That's my advice. Kelsey's like, I can't believe it's real. Tom just said, Roll Tide. So there's that.
Is that the same as Rolling Gale? Because we've had to do that a few times.
So Kelsey's learning. She's like, she starts cooking, and she's frying her soft shell crab, and she's like, oh my god, this is Galen! Because it like starts blowing up. So she asks Nene for advice, and Nene's like, you need batter. And Brandon's like, oh, I think we need cornmeal. And I was like, this is not going to go well. If you don't know how to do a soft shell crab. Don't do a soft shell crab, guys. Okay, not the time to start new things.
Yeah, exactly. So Tom and I think Tom and Grant come by now, right? Don't they come by to do their inspections?
Yeah.
And so he's like, yeah, you know, Sarah, I think you really need to add like maybe like an herbal note to your shrimp. So that would be something great. And I think at this point, or like maybe a few minutes later, Sarah's like, well, they asked me to add an herbal note. So guess what? I'm going to add herbs. I figured it out.
I like Sarah. She's finally totally warmed up on camera. And I like that she makes fun of the whole process. I'm rooting for Sarah. You go, Sarah, okay?
Well, I like them both. I was happy
with
either
one. Start.
I was rooting for either one, all three of them, to be honest. I liked all three of them quite a bit.
Well, Eric's gone now, so I'm rooting for Sarah, okay?
Fine.
Let me root for who I want to root for.
Yeah. So, yeah. So then Tom and Grant tell Kelsey to add, like, crab to her buttermilk. So they're like, okay, she's like, okay, fine. So, and then Kelsey's going to make her famous biscuit, which was foreshadowed early in the season when she's making biscuits in the oven and someone, like, turned off the oven. She's like, who turned off the oven? All my biscuits.
Oh,
and it was,
wow.
I think it was the tall guy.
And biscuits? Oh, my God. You're really going all out, Kelsey?
Hey, listen, I appreciate a good biscuit. So now it's back at the hotel and they're shotgunning beers, which is classic Sarah. Very, very Sarah. And then they go to dinner at Aji and things like that. They're just like talking. It's like filler scenes of like, wow, we made it this far. And oh, my God, this food's delicious. Yada, yada, yada. You know?
Yeah. And I have to hand it to Kelsey because at least she's self-aware. She's like, this is delicious. I'm a little freaked out because I'm about to serve buttermilk and biscuits.
Like, yeah. Exactly. So now it's the next day and it's like cooking, etc. And now it's, should we just get right to them serving the food?
Yeah, sure. I mean, really, all I wrote is judges. Padma crazy
sorry, I lost
perm
for a second.
Padma crazy perm. Neelu, today is the day somebody becomes top chef. Yeah, it's fast forward. Yeah, fast forward.
Today is the day. So Kelsey's serving up. So she serves her cornbread and buttermilk again. And the chefs like it. There's like a lady there from Food & Wine magazine. She's like, I like the textural differences. I like it a lot. I don't know why I felt like writing that down. I think I just wanted an excuse to speak with an accent.
Yeah. She didn't love it. She's like, it's a little bit too nuanced for me. But the textural differences are lovely. And Tom's like, no, you know, very successful, unlike any of my spawn, so that's great. And Brandon's like, hey, Kelsey, do you want these oysters ice cold or room temperature? And she's like, cold. If this sits 1 minute over, we're screwed. It'll be cooked. And I was like, rooting for the heat lamp. Because now it's like sports, where I'm like, Sarah.
Yeah, so she then serves like French oysters, the vichyssoise, and she's like, and this is something that we in the South call a cheese straw. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's a universal thing. It's like a cheese straw.
Yeah, she's like, it's a fight to cheese it. It's like, it's the finale.
Neelu likes that Kelsey did back-to-back soft, delicate, nuanced dishes. Oh, yeah, nuanced. That's not something we see around here. What with Gail hanging around? Oh, wait, you're Neelu. Never mind.
And Neely's like, well, Kelsey really had the confidence to do back-to-back. Very soft, very light. I mean, this one really didn't require that much cooking. And the first one, I mean, it was buttermilk poured over bread. So congratulations. Very nuanced.
Very nuanced. You went from putting bread in buttermilk to serving us something raw. A lot of nuance there. A lot of nuance.
But, man, they loved that. They loved her oyster.
They did.
And the vichyssoise.
And that one. That one chef who was, I think he was the chef from Aji, was like, this is one of the best dishes I've had this year. You know who I loved, by the way? One of the, I didn't write down anyone's names, but one of the guest judges was like an older dude, older Asian guy with sort of like longer hair. I loved him. He should be a guest on this show all the time.
I love how he shaked his.
Yeah, he would always shake his hair like,
yeah,
I've had enough discussion.
He shook
this.
His hair, not shaked, but he would be like, oh, here's how I feel about it.
Listen, everyone can stop discussing. I have the ultimate opinion.
Yeah, he's the type of guy to like, go to a restaurant and shake his hair every time he has to talk and then complain about there being hair in his soup.
But he like speaks with like extreme authority. So you're like, I really believe everything he says right now.
Yeah. So the next things come out and let's see. The English lady's like, I found this problematic because you don't dip it. What do you do? How am I supposed to eat? You don't dip it. Oh, they're talking about the soft shell crab.
The soft shell crab came with like two different sauces, but there are no instructions.
It's so confusing.
I mean, I see a sauce, and I see something that does not have sauce on it, and I have a fork and a knife. am I supposed to just dip something that doesn't have sauce on it in sauce? Is that how that works?
And Kelsey's like, don't be afraid of touching it.
And then Pamma, like before Kelsey's last chorus, Pamma goes, Kelsey, there's only one chorus left. And then I never have to see your face again. Bye.
So Tom's like, well, you know, that softshell crab, to me, that's just frozen softshell crab. And the headshake guy's like, yeah, we don't have softshell crab here. That's not, we don't have it. It's from the freezer. And which, Pam is like, you know, again, you're going to serve frozen softshell crab at the finale. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Pamma goes, for me, there was too much acid in beans. Plus, Kelsey is uniquely terrible. Am I right, everyone? Am I right?
So Kelsey's like, well, that crab dish wasn't my best work, and I know it. This dessert has to wham them. So let's see.
Sarah's coming into the kitchen.
Yeah.
Sarah's coming into the kitchen to start preparing while Kelsey is like getting her dessert ready. And Sarah's like, not going to be doing a dessert. And Kelsey's like, I've been really nervous to make dessert against me too. Like, shut up, Kelsey. I like you, but shut up.
So Kelsey serves a peach cobbler, like a deconstructed peach cobbler.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, one of my favorite things about home is the farm stand. When the peaches start to go bad, my mom made a cobbler. I'm like, oh, sounds delicious, Kelsey. Bad peaches.
Yeah. And when the plates come out, Nilu's like, ooh, canals. Shut up, Nilu. We know what they are. Quiet in the corner, fake Gale.
Yeah. Be quiet, Gale Knot.
Listen, anything that's in the shape of a dumpling gets this one excited.
Yeah.
Am I right, everyone?
Quiet,
right?
Foo-foo. So Padma's like,
so then
this is a love letter to peach cobbler, or to peaches and cream. And then Neely's like, there was something brilliant to this, but that honeysuckle ice cream melting kind of hid the flavors for me. Shut up, Nilu.
Just Padma just berating Nilu at any chance. Like, she has to be nice to Gale because of all the years, but she's with Nilu, she's like, fuck this one. I was trying to have my good friend Lena Waite as our judge, but apparently Nilu is what's going on now.
Yeah, so Sarah's screwed because she's like, you know, look, I could have come here and done the same thing I always do, scratch my butt, drink a beer, and throw some grits on a plate. But I decided to do something completely different, something I've never done before. And that takes guts. It takes will. God damn it, I fucked up the bacon. What the hell's wrong with this? Shit. I just lost this whole fucking thing over bacon.
I'm just going to bring a giant thing of Foster's out to the table and poke a hole in it and make them all shotgun out of it. And meanwhile, while Kelsey, before Kelsey's done, Padma's like, Kelsey, are you happy with your meal? Because honestly, it tasted like shit. And she starts making a speech about, like, come this far, starts choking up and everything. And then Nilu, like, awkwardly reaches out to, like, comfort Sarah by, like, clasping her arm. Padma's just like, oh God, one awful person's touching another awful person. Great, glad we flew across the world for this.
Two awfuls don't make a non-awful. And Kelsey's like, yeah, I mean, I came real far, you know, it's like grandma's house, drinking some buttermilk, so you just see grandpa there crumbling the thing into the mix. Like, shut up, get rid of her, get X her.
So now it's time for Sarah to serve her meal. And
Sarah has another great way of pitching her meal. Okay, she's just told us, like, I had to change everything up. Oops, fucked up the bacon. So now she goes, she's like, I decided to do something different. You know what I hated the most as a kid? Black-eyed peas and beets. I mean, disgusting. So I'm going to use them in my finale dish. It's like,
great. Way to set the stage for everyone.
I was like, please don't say that to the judges. And it's like, hi, judges. Guess what I hate? Black-eyed peas and beets. Here you go. Black-eyed peas and beets.
Yeah. So she, so her first course, she serves her prawns and peanuts again. And the second course is like bacon and corn with razor clams. And Pamma's like, the baby corn. Did you salt them in some salted water, or was it just Gale's tears, which I'd be totally down with?
And one of the guys is like, I love the taste of peanut water. It reminds me of my father. I was like, okay, don't you start too.
Yes,
okay?
Yes.
Calm down, yes, over that there, guy. Buddy.
So yeah, so then they're talking about like the bacon being incredibly salty in the second course. And then on top of that, to make matters worse, Tom's like, yeah, and then the saffron, like the saffron doesn't even need to be here. Like Nilu. Am I right, everyone? Am I right?
And Sarah's like, God, I gave him way too much info with that whole hate it as a kid thing. Everyone has a bad hair day. I mean, what the fuck are you going to do about it, you know?
Yeah.
Fuck me.
Yeah, so she serves those pickled beets and black-eyed peas with some duck. And she serves it, and then she walks away. And then they're like talking about it, that they like the duck, but they want the more pickled beets. It's sort of like a mixed review on that duck. But Sarah goes back, and I don't know if you noticed this, Ronnie, but Sarah goes back to the kitchen. She goes, they loved it. Like, you weren't even there. You weren't even in the room. Yeah, they loved it.
Yeah, they loved it. They loved it.
Oh, God.
So the last course is a play on dirty rice, right? And some dry-aged ribeye, and some shiitake broth, and mushrooms. My mom would take dirty rice, and then she'd smush chicken guts into it. And so I was like, oh, my God. You need to work on your pitching. I think this would have gone so much better if Sarah pitched her food better and didn't cry, and cried, like found a way to cry about something.
Yeah,
I love some crying.
Exactly. And Padma's like, Sarah, this is the last course you'll be cooking on Top Chef. Would you like to take this opportunity to slap Nilu? Please go ahead.
She's like, yeah, you know, I'm in a small town and not much is happening. You know, sometimes you just beat up children because, I mean, what the fuck else are you going to do? So it was great to come here. You know, that was fun. Saw a hotel room. That was different. I used to sleep in my dad's car a lot. So this was great. Thanks,
that's enough, guys. Sarah. Enough. Enough. Please. You're not famous. Go. Go. And so Nilu's like, I don't miss dessert one bit. Good, because if Gail were here, she would have eaten it anyway.
And Neely says the thing that I hate most of all. Mic drop. I mean, that's like only second to just saying. I hate just saying. Okay.
How about we drop Nilu off this building? That's a
how
mic
about
drop
a Nilu drop? Let me do the honors.
Hey Neely, there's a dumpling on the edge of this building. Go fetch.
So the chefs talk about it and bring him back in and then start giving him the business. And Padma's like, chefs, regardless of what happens here today, I just blew a taco on Instagram. Tom.
Regardless of what happens here today, chefs, I think we can all agree that Nilu is terrible, right? Am I right, everyone? Am I right? Who's worse, Nilu or Gail? Trick question, they're both awful.
Kelsey, did your first course come out how you wanted? Kelsey's like, yep, sure did. And he's like, well, the dish was more flavorful than last time, and the one negative thing was that cornbread. I mean, it crumbled better yesterday.
Also, it was cornbread. You served us fucking cornbread, Kelsey.
Were the tortillas busy, Kelsey?
Could you not find breadcrumbs?
Oh, so then the second course, Kelsey's like, I love oysters! And Tom's like, yeah, that soup was, you know, perfectly seasoned, no negative. You know, that guy with the shaky hair said it was his favorite food of the season and the year. I mean, whoa!
Whoa. And then, Sarah, for your second course, where did that saffron come from? Because I'm gathering it wasn't from Kentucky. Am I right, everyone? Am I right? Kentucky. Can you believe we did a whole season there? Oh, my God.
And Sarah's like, she sticks out her tongue. She has this thing where she sticks out her tongue. She's like, well, I read about it in some books. And, you know, I read about some books in Kentucky, and they said they really liked it. So I just figured I'd put it on there.
So now it's the third course, and you know, Tom's like, oh, you know, Sarah, you just you need something to tie that dish together, you know, like, I don't know, the ties, sort of like the way like a family has bonds from generation to generation, and then sometimes someone in the generations will just stick their finger up in the face of all those family bonds and decide to become mixologists, you know what I'm saying?
And Sarah's like, yes, sir, which was a funny answer. And then Padma's like, Sarah, did the crab come out how you wanted? And she's like, well, I struggled. And she goes, yeah,
Yeah, that's been an ongoing theme for you, Kelsey. You do struggle.
Yeah, Kelsey, I'm sorry. I said Sarah. Yeah. But they were talking about Kelsey's soft-shell crab. And she's like, did that come out like you wanted? And she's like, I struggled. She's like, yeah. I mean, I didn't need more oil. You fried it almost too much and then put more oil on it, which it was already oiled because that's what you fry things in, Kelsey. Am I right?
I mean, I guess we shouldn't be too surprised. It is Kelsey we're talking about. Am I right, everyone? Bless her heart.
Gracie Kelsey. Yeah. So Padma's like, okay, Sarah's last course. And Sarah's like, I was happy with it. What are you going to do? You know? And Tom says, near perfect. That was near perfect. Yeah, almost like my family tree. And Graham's like, to go against dessert, you didn't do dessert, and you nailed it. You nailed it, girl.
Kelsey. Did your dessert that didn't quite nail it come out the way you wanted it? Trick question. We all hated it.
Tom's like, whoa, deconstructed cobbler? That is risky. Wow. And Neely's like, the honeysuckle, it almost took away from that peach flavor. Because peach tastes like peach and honeysuckle tastes like honeysuckle. It's just like, it's just too much for me. I just don't know.
No. And she's like, my challenge is the honeysuckle. My challenge is your face, Neely. Get out of here.
So then Padma, they kicked them out, and Padma was like, they're from a similar place, but their meals were so different.
And there will be millions of little girls who will see how you've grown and come from home and made it all the way over here, and we're still terrible. Still terrible.
I actually cried at that part. I was trying to skip it because I totally have squirties all over my nose.
That's so sweet of you, Ronnie.
I cry over weird things. She's like, little girls everywhere will look at you and say, thank God Gail's not here this season. I was like, no, that's beautiful. So they talk about the final, you know, the final judging, and they kind of repeat themselves.
Yeah. It's basically, yeah, they love Sarah's first and last courses. Neelu can't stop thinking about Kelsey's oysters, and Neelu loves Sarah's soup. They were just, yeah, they all loves this stuff. And then Pam was like, Kelsey's third course felt like an appetizer, not an entree. Gail would be pissed.
Did you guys hear that noise? Bueller just went like this. You all right over there, buddy?
No.
He's having a dream. He's having a Gail dream. He's like, she didn't feel there was enough progression. And Tom's like, yeah, but she gave us three great decisions. And, you know, I'm conflicted. But she did cry, and Sarah basically opens beer with her teeth. So, I don't know. Who do we want to in commercials for the next year?
Yeah. So now it's the final, So it's the final judgment, and Tom's like, chefs, you know, we all grow up with dreams in our heads, and if we're lucky, we get to pursue those dreams, and if we're more fortunate, those dreams can come true. And then the rest of us are just mixologists, I guess.
He's like, without that guiding hand, you don't follow those dreams. And with a guiding hand, you become a spoiled little brat who never amassed anything. So what are you going to do? You know, parenting is hard. Someone wins tonight, and someone goes home to their dad's car to eat some boiled peanuts, which sounds still not delicious. So, Padma?
Yeah.
And Padma? She's like, Kelsey, disgust me to say this. You're Top Chef. I guess if Hosea can do it, you can do it too.
So then there's like cheers and clapping and all this stuff. And then Padma walks up to Sarah and goes, I'd like to give you a hug. Only because this counts as my charity for the year. Here, hug. You're welcome in advance.
I get a tax credit for that, right?
It feels like a hug, a giant beanbag.
A beanbag. Beanbag filled with pork rinds. Am I right, Sarah? So Nilo's like, girl, Kelsey, you grew balls like no one's business. I mean, buttermilk. Whoa!
Padma's like, turns out you don't even need balls. Thanks for renewing the feminist agenda of Neelu.
Thanks for trying to hold us back in Macau, Neelu. Kelsey's like, we see Kelsey go home and see her child for the first time. The kid's like, who the fuck are you? You know, and then it ends by her going, well, I don't think anyone will ever say I'm an underdog again. Just saying. And I was like, that is a perfect fucking end to a Kelsey win. Just saying.
I was a Kelsey fan all along. I'm not going to lie.
Nope.
But I liked how much you hated her. Because that's the fun about these shows. Like the way I had an irrational hate for Eddie, even though he was like perfectly nice and lovely and really talented. But I just was like always furious from that one episode and then just mad going forward. That's what reality TV is about. You know, sometimes you just pick your favorites and you stick with them even when logic and reason dictates otherwise.
Yeah, guys. Reality TV where you lose friendships.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
I had a dream that I was actually trying to explain that concept to Camille Grammer last night. Oh, God. So let's move on to Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Oh, God. So I almost pressed the stop button. I forgot we were doing that, too. All right. Come on, Atlanta. Yeah.
I know. Well, you know, the thing is this. Ronnie and I were flying back yesterday. I'm like, let's just do light notes on Atlanta because it's going to be Eva's wedding episode. So it's just going to suck. And you're like, you never know. But I think deep down we both knew, no, it's going to suck.
Well, it didn't suck for me. I thought it was super fun. But it is when we get to skip over a lot of stuff because it's like, oh, my God, finally the day is here. The love of my life is marrying me in a party room at the Marriott or whatever.
Yeah. I think the biggest takeaway for me is that I've decided that I really like Shamari because she's the only one having fun this season. Yeah, she's just getting wasted every episode now.
Yeah, Shamari. Well, that's what you do at a wedding reception, okay? And that's what you do at a party. I don't care. I'm not mad at Shamari for getting wasted. These people are so hypocritical.
Yeah, totally. So, yeah, the episode opened up with Shamari going to Swagga Boutique to give a bottle of Saint Germain to Nene. She basically was like kissing the ring, and she's like, I know I'm on the fringes of this show, so I'm just going to kiss ass with the biggest star, and hopefully that'll be enough to get me on for another season.
Yeah, and Nene, you know, Nene plans on going to the wedding with her because they're both going to be dateless, and then we see Eva getting ready for her wedding. They have like a big special room for everybody to get ready. And
she gets her mom. She makes this really lovely personalized handkerchief has like a dedication to her mom, like an ode to her mom. And I was like, that's really nice. But you realize that's designed for you to like blow snot into, right?
Yeah. Who gets their mother a hanky for a wedding present? How much money did your mother just spend on this wedding? Okay. And you just gave her a hanky.
Also, you got to know that things have gone awry, that they're not even bothering with the rehearsal dinner. They're just going right to the wedding. They're like, they're like, let's just get this over with, okay?
Yeah, I think they were bored too.
Yeah.
So the hanky says, to my mom, today a bride, tomorrow a wife, always your daughter and a friend for life. Now put your boogers in me. Like, yeah. What kind of gift is that?
I like that we both had that same instinct. I'm like, this is where boogers go.
Yeah, this is where mom's like, I'm literally crying and snot's coming out. Do I use this or a paper towel? Because that's the equivalent to the gift you just gave me, okay?
Yeah, it's like, does she like hang up that handkerchief? And then it's like, why is there a handkerchief that's hung up?
Yeah, she's like, were there no clotheslines in the store? Were there no patterned paper towels that you could have given me? I mean, geez.
Like a koozie.
A koozie.
Just put this on a koozie. It'd be much more useful.
Mom, here's a hairbrush. Thank you. So then Shamia calls Nene because they're all getting ready to go to the wedding. And
Shamari.
God damn it. I have to stop writing down Sham. It's like once I get one thing in my head, it's there forever. So Shamari calls her and she's like, are you still going to pick me up? And she's like, I don't know if I can even go to this wedding because me and Greg are having a fight. None of that. I'm like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Nene. You took one episode off and now you're going to make someone else's wedding episode about yourself.
Exactly.
I don't know why I'm surprised.
Exactly. So then Shamari calls up Tanya and is like, hey, do you mind if I ride with you? Yes! Yes!
Oh, my God!
Together! Yeah!
We'll have some cocktails and some champagne! Yeah!
I'm bringing a hibachi grill into the car! Oh, my God! I'm going to flip shrimp into your mouth!
Ride share! I have to give Tanya the award for best FaceTime posture, though. Because did you notice Tanya in FaceTime? She's like, yes. She looked perfect. Ah!
That's a new category in the crappies. Next year. Best FaceTime posture goes to Tanya.
Yeah. So then Candy and Todd are getting ready, and Cynthia and Chill show up to go with them. And basically, nothing.
Eva told them, Candy's like, of course, just like talking about the food. She's excited about the food. And basically, Eva told everyone it's $1,000 per head. And Kendra's like, no, really? Like, I got married and it was like only $25 a head. And I had everything, which is pretty like, funny. And I believe it too.
And tigers. And she still spent less money. And Todd's like, whoa, they should have just called the old lady gang to cater.
Yeah.
Decatur? Decatur girls stick together.
Decatur girls ride share.
So the little drama here is that in the wake of the closet situation, it seemed like last week things were going in the right direction. They were like, Candy had texted Nini and was like, so sorry, and Nini was like, cool with it. And then Portia was gonna reach out to Nini, whatever. And they had talked about this all in front of Marlo. So Marlo went and told Nini about the conversation they all had at lunch, which was like a totally benign and uninteresting conversation. But of course Marlo spins it to sound like totally like devious and nasty. So then Nini called up Candy wanting answers on what they discussed and yada yada yada. So there's like a little bit of kerfuffle going on.
Well, why would you talk in front of Marlo? You know she's gonna do that.
Yeah,
you know, why even go to lunch with Marlo? Why invite Marlo anywhere? That's my question.
Yeah, why Marlo?
Why
although
Marlo
again is one of the few people who's actually bringing anything to this season, so
except her life, I mean, whatever. So then arrivals, basically we see everybody, you know, arriving, and then Nini comes in. Everybody's already sat. The wedding's a little bit late starting because Nini, you know, so she comes in as the star of the wedding.
She's wearing a, like, Danny Pellegrino online was like, is Nini wearing a Linfinity dress? Because it was like black in the front, but red on the back.
Yeah. Which was, it was a Leanne Locken
could you imagine?
Creation.
To me, it looked like, I mean, I didn't mind the dress at all, but it did, it reminded me of like a dean of arts and sciences at graduation where they wear like a robe, but they have like some sort of like banner that's like, it goes around the front and then hangs off the back. It was like, that's where my mind was at. This is what I was thinking about when I was watching this show.
Really? I was thinking, oh, gee, Nini's coming in right before the bride. Typical. At least she didn't come in after. You know, baby steps, Nini.
So, yeah. So Michael gives a very lovely – he gives his vows. They're very, very lovely. Everyone's crying. And by the way, Eva's dad, so cute. He was like bawling. I love him. So then So Michael's giving this perfectly lovely speech, and then Marlo's like rubbing Nini's arm, you know, and like, I know, like, for sure, Nini and Greg are going through legitimate, like, real hardship and everything. But it bothered me that, like, when Eva was reading her vows, that we had all these intercuts between, like, Greg and Nini's vows. I'm like, can you just, like, let her have her vows? I mean, even though Eva's boring, can we, like, it's still her wedding. Does it have to be Nini's wedding, too?
No, they cannot. They're like, remember that time Nini pretended to leave Greg so that she could get a wedding special? Wasn't that touching? Let's watch that again.
And Cynthia's like, Chad, the entire time I forgot I was even at a wedding because I was just imagining me being up there marrying Will so we could become chill. I was like, is anyone paying attention to Eva at this wedding?
And I like how Cynthia ended that because she's like, I was picturing my own wedding and it was beautiful.
Like, literally everyone at that wedding is like not even paying attention to Eva. They're just thinking about themselves. Tanya's like, I was thinking about my hibachi.
So then Nini gets all upset, like she's gonna leave. Is this where she like walks out to leave?
I mean, it's like the whole second half of the show was her like threatening to walk out. And we learned that she had been tweeting about Greg, and she was tweeting things like, when people are sick, is it an excuse for them to be mean?
And then they just pop up all these mean tweets about Nini, like, I'm out of here, I'm leaving Greg. So Shamari asked her about it. She's like, so how's it going? I saw something on Twitter about you saying people are sick, and is that causing issues? You think? Because she's got like millions of Twitter followers, and she's going off today.
Yeah.
And Nini's like, yeah. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't want to talk about it. Don't cry, don't cry. Marlo's like, don't make her cry now. Yeah. Like, well, you're about to try and make her cry and have a fight at a wedding, Marlo.
Yeah, God. Exactly. And then, like, Candy and Portia are talking about Nini. Because also the other thing that happened was that I think at one point, I think was it Candy or was no, Portia called someone, probably a producer, who was still at Nini's house after the closet thing, and Nini was in the background being like, tell those two bitches that if they come out, I'm going to get whatever. She was yelling, ranting in the background. So now Candy and Portia are sort of upset that they were calling her, that Nini was calling her bitches, which I actually am like, she's mad. I don't know. I don't think it was like the worst thing in the world, you know? So they're talking about that off to the side, and Marlo joins. It's like, I'm going to get Nini. They're like, no. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Candy's like, what exactly did you say? Because I don't think that you repeated what we said in the same way that we said it. Okay. Yeah. It sounds like you were being a dick or something. And she goes, yeah. Well, all I said verbatim is the Candy's never seen you that aggressive. And then Candy had to stand between you guys because you're so aggressive. And she's like, they're just like, Jesus Christ. And the way Portia puts it, she goes, I'm just saying, why can't you let us have that?
Marlo's like, all I said was that they called you the C word and said you were the worst person and a terrible actress and should never have even been on the new normal.
Yeah, you get fired from every job on TV you've ever had. That's all. No big
deal.
That's
all I said. They're like, see? No. Oh, no. So, by the way, so Greg, the thing that happened was with Nini is that, like, right before the wedding, Greg had talked about separating. This is what she, like, tells. I don't even remember if she's telling the girls or Shamarvel, or I think Cynthia. And so Greg had, like, talked about separating right before the wedding, which is why she's so rattled. And she's like, Greg is so mean, and, like, I just can't be talked to that way. I'm like, well, first of all, you're the one who's tweeting this shit out. He's dying of cancer. Well, he's not dying, but he's battling cancer. And, like, you know what? Like, if Nini went off the walls 2 episodes ago and wants people to, like, be chill about it.
Chill.
So, let him go crazy, too, okay? Because he's the one who's actually fighting cancer.
Yeah. And she's like, but I look like the bad guy. And then, you know, he's always doing this stuff, and he's the bad guy, but then he's fine just letting me take the rap for it and looking like the bad guy. I'm like, you're the bad guy. I'm sorry, okay? Unless there's some hidden video footage of Greg being a monster, you are the bad guy, okay? That's all I've seen so far is you being the bad guy. And if everyone else has to forgive you because your husband's sick, then we're going to forgive Greg, too, like you said.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
I mean, I believe that Greg is probably being like really bitchy right now. I totally believe that. And I also totally empathize that being a caretaker is like emotionally exhausting. I just think that Nini, though, is I don't know. Nini. I think she's wrong
Nini
in this case.
Nini is Nini.
Nini is Nini.
Which is wrong, like, at all times.
The tweeting is like not a good look, I think, in a marriage when someone's like going through the battle of their life.
Yeah. So then Marlo gets them all together, and Nini's like, are we really one time I agree with Nini. She's like, are we really doing this at a wedding? This is so tacky. You guys want to stage a fight at a wedding? Seriously?
Yeah. Meanwhile, Eva comes down the stairs in her like famous reception dress. She's like, here it is. It's a dress that I want everyone to remember. And it's on screen for like, 1 second, and all of her cast members are in a hallway instead.
Yeah. And I didn't write down when Eva noticed. Isn't that sad? Like, from now on, I don't even know that Eva's there, frankly.
No, she's not. She's not even there. So the women are now all talking in the hallway, and Nini's doing that face where she's like in a locked in eye roll and going,
yeah, she's like I'm just barely putting up with this. I'm just barely
like,
putting
up with this. But it's like a very showy, I don't care, which means that you do care face, yeah. You know?
So Marlo starts it off, and they're like, no, Marlo. Okay, you've already twisted our words and made us sound like shit. And Portia says, I just wanted to talk to her on my own terms. And Candy's like, I just felt that your delivery was off because all I was trying to do was diffuse the situation, okay? And Nini's like, and Candy said, I felt like your delivery was off. You know, maybe you were a little aggressive. And Nini's like, aggressive is the wrong word, I feel. You know, that's the calm that Nini gives before she loses it.
Yeah, so semantics argument, like, too.
She tells us, what do you mean you want to talk to me about my behavior? No, bitch. I need to talk to you about your bad behavior. So then she goes on her whole thing, which we've heard 5 times in the past couple of weeks because of Watch What Happens Live and her online and everything. She's like, you don't go into somebody's house and disrespect somebody's home. And last year, you know, I had a problem with someone going into my bathroom and saying it was roach infested, which was the big drama last year. And then the shady editor showed the video of the bugs in the bathroom, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, good Brielle callback.
And she's like, and I don't want a video of my dirty ass closet. My closet was dirty. And they're like, we all get that, you know. But the thing is, Portia said that she called somebody and that you're calling us bitches in the background and saying, you don't know how it's going to be when you see us. Yeah. And then Marlo's like, like, I didn't hear that part.
Yes. At which point, he then decides to just, like, she's like, okay, I'm going to spin this around. She's like, listen, don't tear me down. I need you to rally. I need you to support me. I need you to support me. Rally around me. Rally around me. Do that. Support me. Which I think is a fine request. But also, don't forget when Marlo showed up to your house and you wouldn't even let her in the house. And she drove. Yeah. She canceled her beauty appointment for you, Nini.
Well, by rally, she means just stand there and take it, you know?
Yeah.
Which, sorry, no. And that whole argument of you don't tell someone how to act in their own house. Yeah. Yeah, you do. When they're screaming and yelling at you and, like, you know, getting violent. Yeah. You tell them to calm down. Like, I don't know where you've heard that rule or why you're so steadfast to that rule of, you know, polite behavior. It's weird. It's like, I'm not taking, like, classes from Nini on how to be polite.
Yeah. So they all, it's like all hugs and tears, and Candy says she feels so terrible about doing that. So it's all good. I mean, obviously, it's such a stupid argument in the first place. So they actually managed to squash it pretty well. And they're like, okay, now, Nini, it's time for you to do your toast. Because she's like, oh, I don't know if I can't do the toast. Like, do the toast. So they go out to do the toast, and then they, like, they find, like, Shamari in the hallway. She's like, hey.
Say, are you okay? Are you okay? You okay? It's just Dorinda in the hallway.
Yeah. Nini, I'm here. I'm here, Nini. And Nini's like, ugh, this one again.
So Nini's speech is like, roses are red, violets are blue. Your wedding's stupid, okay? I'm leaving. Bye. Congratulations. This is bullshit, okay? You're going to pay my appearance fee for this. Bye.
Yeah, her speech that she was like, I don't know if I can even do this. She's like reading off a single index card, it looked like. Or maybe it's slightly larger than an index. But it was not like it was like pages. First of all, she didn't memorize it, which is like – and then second of all, it's like it's if it could all fit on an index card, like let's skip the drama. But I don't know if I can do it. Like it's going to be 2 minutes long. It was, you're right. It was just like – it was like, you know what? Marriages are tough sometimes. But you got to support people, okay? And then don't walk into their closets when you don't want them to be in there, okay? Bye.
And then that's pretty much it. But then we see a coming up next week, or coming up on The Real Housewives of Atlanta, and they all turn against Eva and say that she's poor or something. Like that's
yeah, and Eva runs out. Because Eva's moving to a new house right after she got back from her... Which is actually a very, very Potomac-style argument to be like, wait, she's moving as soon as she got back from her honeymoon?
There's something
very
fishy
Karen
about
Huger.
That.
Yeah. Very Karen Huger.
Will the Ring doorbell come into this episode or this
will
series
there be a
like
pizza
it did
delivery?
And that brings us to the end of Watch What Crappens. This week's bonus episode is a breakdown of the Potomac trailer. So go listen to that. We did a nice big long, or we're going to do a nice big long recap of that because we love that show.
We could do that right now.
We're going to have an announcement this week about our new city. In the meantime, go get tickets at watchwhatcrappens.com for Portland, Phoenix, Boston. I think only has five. I think they have like five VIP tickets left. So
that's
in Boston, go get those.
I knew there was something we had to say. There's only five tickets left in Boston.
Yeah, and then we have a new shirt coming out Wednesday. It's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills themed. So you're only going to be able to get your Luann stuff for this week, and then it's out of there to make way for the new Real Housewives of Beverly Hills shirts. Yeah. New ringers are going up tomorrow, so if you need some new ringtones, there's going to be tons of new ringtones. It's time to fill you up on some ringtones. So good. For all that stuff, go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Or for all those links, go to watchwhatcrappens.com, you guys.
God.
If you want to watch this video, and if you want to watch some of our recaps, we're doing two recaps a week on TV Party app, and they have a live replay, or not a live replay, but a replay on Crappens On Demand over on Patreon. Everybody, thank you so much for being here. We sure love you.
Yeah, bye. Fun times. Talk to you tomorrow.
Now TV hotline. How can we help?
I've got the best spot on the sofa and a big mug of tea, but I need some great TV. What have you got?
How about over 300 box sets for you to curl up with, like Game of Thrones?
Amazing!
And we've brought must-see movies so you can put your feet up, with over 1,000 like Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Great! Sorted!
Relax with over 1,000 movies and 300 box sets streaming on Now TV. 18 plus, month passes auto renew, terms apply.
This is Acast Recommends. Every week we pick one of our favourite shows, and this is one we think you're going to love.
My name is David Runciman, and we are Talking Politics. As the noise around politics gets louder, this is the podcast that cuts through. We try to make sense of what's really going on. Join the conversation on Acast or via Apple Podcasts by searching for Talking Politics.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from the UK and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.